to another special episode of But Why the Podcast, where today you get to hear my interview with Dennis Liu, the creator of both Raising Dion and Link. Enjoy.
Hello.
Hi, Dennis.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm super excited to talk to you. I am actually halfway through Raising Dion, and I'm in love.
Oh, that's
so.
what episode are you on?
I'm on episode 3 or 4.
Oh, okay. Four. That's
yeah.
A good one.
Yeah, and that's what the rest of my night looks like after I get off here.
Oh, fun. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff coming to you. So I did episode 6, so I directed episode 6, so definitely stay around for that.
Awesome. That's great to know.
Yeah.
You're the creator of Raising Dion and the new comic Ling.
Yeah, thanks.
And I got to watch the Ling short, the 3-minute video, and I'm in love.
Oh, thank you.
It's beautiful. It's different. What sparked the project?
You know, I've been working on Raising Dion, which was initially started to help with diversity, both in front of and behind the camera. And that project had been going on for like 4 or 5 years, a really long time. And, you know, I started to think, wow, it'd be really cool to try to do something in the Asian American space, since, you know, Shang-Chi doesn't come out for like another 2 years. And, you know, it'd be great to do something a little sooner that we can at least get some images and like a little bit of story for people, because, you know, it's quite a long time. So,
yeah.
That's sort of what started the project, and I just got a bunch of friends and my awesome wife, Marie, to come together and help out on the weekends while we were working on Dion, so it was kind of a fun little side project.
And so one of the things that I really like about Raising Dion, and I like in the short I saw in Ling, is these are different superhero stories. Like these aren't superhero stories that we're necessarily used to. How do you start conceptualizing these ideas? Are you like actively pushing against stuff that we've seen before, or do you just kind of let it flow?
Right. So I think what's cool about Ling is that we started the design of that character with, okay, first of all, one, we don't want to do just some shoehorned superhero that just happens to be Asian. That was the first rule. So we decided we needed to look at how we can organically create a character and give her abilities that complement sort of the overall Asian experience, with regard to knowing that, you know, there are a lot of different ethnicities among that broader umbrella, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one thought we had was immediately the idea of how Asian Americans have to assimilate, and that's something that's been both really good and bad in our historical experience, in particularly California and New York, right? So,
mm-hmm.
So an early idea that kept going through the storyline was, what if she has the ability to change her identity, and Asian American experience has always been a lot about that. So that was like something that was early and organic to the project. And then we looked at, you know, the common stereotypes of the over-sexualization of Asian women in cinema. So we immediately were like, okay, that's something we just want to address like early on. We want a really cool, strong male love interest for Ling, so we had a couple things that we did so-called checkmark boxes for, but at the same time, we it's not like we try to make a laundry list, you know, it still has to be organic to like reality, but push the limits with regards to the storytelling. So I guess with creating a character like Ling, that was how we organically designed it, because we didn't want to just fall into common tropes of, you know, martial arts or just things that were already been explored and maybe fetishized even. example.
Yeah.
That just seemed done already and less insightful with regards to the, you know, Asian American experience that teens can experience mm-hmm. and relate to.
One of the things I got while watching the trailer is, because I'm a huge fan of magical girl anime.
Right.
And so when I started watching, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting these feels from that. What was, was that the intention or?
Yeah, so we first talked about the, like, okay, how do we make this relevant to the Asian American experience? And then one of the other puns that we came out of this was like, okay, well, she can be whichever girl she wants to be, right? That yeah. became like an early sort of tagline for us. Because it's empowering, you know, you don't want to be pigeonholed in a box of who you are. And that then was like, okay, well, why don't we do maybe it could be a witch project. And then I think from there I was like, well, why are witch projects like Sabrina and Charmed? They're always like a westernized gothic witch. So, like, why don't we go to, if we're going to do an Asian American or Asian superhero piece, why don't we try an Eastern witch? And what does that look like? And then if you go back to, like, Kiki and Sally the Witch,
yeah,
the magical girl genre, right, in Japanese anime, you'll find all sorts of fun stuff that has been explored in that sort of realm. So we're like, okay, well, how about we ground that and make that more relatable and live action and more badass, I suppose, given that, you know, it's needed a little bit of an update in certain areas,
yeah.
That genre. And
yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of part of the inspiration of that part. And, you know, when we came up with Kitsy, who teleports into her washing machine, you know, that's kind of a callback to the trope of the familiar character
yeah.
in that genre, right? But what's fun is, again, we're always trying to do something that's relatable but still fresh. And we realized initially Kitsy was going to be a 3D model and kind of like the Pokemon movie, like super photoreal. We modeled him and we got pretty far, and then I was like, well, this is going to take us a long time. So, and, you know, we didn't have the resources for it. So we were like, well, what if we explored how use these creative and budgetary limitations, like, and use it to our advantage. So we went 2D anime, which I think is super cool because no one's really done a hybrid live action anime format before. And since we were doing a callback to this genre that you're talking about, an homage to it and our modernized version of it, it seemed like a really cool hybrid and a fresh look, right? Because there's 500 scripted television shows out there.
Yeah.
And with no end in sight. So we hope someone like you, who's, you know, well versed in media, can be like, oh, okay, I see what these people are doing. This is kind of interesting. I wonder how they're going to blend this aesthetic, to make this something new. So it's not only the storyline, the diverse aspects of it, but we're also making cinema. So, you know, we're looking for a newer rather. I mean, a lot of it is, you know, coming from the greats of the past.
Yeah.
But putting a spin on it, and I think that's the goal of any sort of work of art.
Yeah, and it, the 2D anime character, he adds so much. Like, it gives it somehow feels more like adding the 2D animation somehow makes it feel even more alive in a weird way, even though it's just animation.
Yeah.
And was that Randall Park's voice?
It is. Yeah. So, I mean, that's another great story. I'll quickly tell two. The first is about when I was Airbnb-ing in California, and there's this cat named Mitzi, actually, and it was just amazing to see how determined this cat was, and how he moved, which was just so interesting and courageous, this cat. So it's kind of what makes that kind of fun and something we haven't seen before. So I'm excited when, if we ever keep going with this, and I hope we do, that people can really see what it, you know, what it's like with an animal who walks like that, because I think that sort of thing hasn't been shown a whole lot.
Oh, yeah.
And it goes with the mythology of that Kitsy's from the world of misfits, which is an imperfect world. And I think one of the things that Asian Americans deal with is the mono-minority trope, right?
Yeah.
Or not, rather not trope, it's more of like an, you know, an issue. And one of Ling's sort of struggles is that she tries to be perfect and to live up to these sort of expectations. And Kitsy, being imperfect, like Ling's birthmarks, are a power. It's something really good and positive. And we're embracing that Ling isn't, you know, she's not a super polished pro person with, you know, straight A's and whatnot.
Yeah.
And that's built in with the mythology, so.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's why Kitsy is who he is. Ling looks like who she looks like. And, of course, to the Randall part, he's really a funny, curmudgeon-y kind of character, and we really wanted to find someone who had that hilarious spirit, and we just put it out there. We were just telling all of our friends, and one thing led to the next, and word got to Randall, and he's like, yeah, we'd totally love to help out and just come in and record. And I think at the time he was shooting Always Be My Maybe and super busy, and he just came down to help. I think he's one of our community's great leaders in giving back and helping, you know, other Asian American artists rise, and I can't say enough great things about him.
That's awesome.
And, you know, it's good to build a team that at least keeps that in mind a little bit with regards to these projects. And I think Raising Dion, that I think one of the most proud things of Dion, I think a lot of the producers have, is how well diversified and inclusive the whole show is, from you know, the writers, directors, down to the very last PA.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like a forced sort of thing, but it was definitely something we always kept in mind, which I think is reflective in the crew and the work. So
yeah.
So that's that part of the story.
I never knew that I needed to have Randall Park voice a cat. And now I want so much more of it.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's not, it doesn't take a ton of time to come in and do a voiceover, but he even came twice, which was really great.
That's amazing.
I needed to pick up a couple lines, and I felt really bad. I'm like, dude, you know, this is crazy, and you're just doing this on your feet. But, you know, would you mind coming and say a couple more lines? And he's like, sure, not at all. Just let me know where and when. And, you know, it's left a really strong impression on me, and I hope to anyone else who's listening or reading this, that, you know, it's really important to go back and reach to the next generation. And what I love about both Ling and Dion is, you know, you see people, we're getting a lot of artwork, which is kind of awesome, Dion. And, you know, a lot from, like, younger kids, and that's great, because they can finally see themselves, and that's something that I don't think I really had Yeah. I hope Ling has that same sort of impact as Dion does, and hopefully go from there.
And was that always something you wanted to do? Because, I mean, focusing, especially in, like, the current world of superheroes, right? Like, they're almost all fully grown adults. Like, focusing on a younger generation, you know, a kid with Dion and a teen with Ling, was, you know, hitting that audience and showing that audience representation the main idea with their ages?
You know, it sort of ended up that way, weirdly. I don't think it was as much of a conscious decision, but now that we're seeing the results of Dion only a week after we premiered, I think it's definitely a really cool byproduct of what we set out to do. I mean, the real hero I always love to say is actually Nicole to me.
Yeah.
The great spin on Dion is she has no powers, but without her guidance, Dion could turn into a bunch of different things.
And oh, yeah.
I think that's kind of the greatest irony of the project is she has the ultimate control, and no matter how promising Dion can be, she really has to be at her best in a lot of situations so that he has the moral ground to make the right decisions in the future.
Yeah.
Which is why this thing could be so cool as he gets older. Because things that you are left with emotionally as a kid, you bring into, I feel, in some cases, your adult life.
Yeah.
And it's like melding clay, you know?
Yeah.
And we're seeing it happen right up close and personal. And it's funny where art imitates life, too, because we would feel like we'd need to be really good to Jizai on set.
Yeah.
You know, like, really keep his expectations grounded and, like, you know, this is going to be a show, but you really have to say this is a team effort, and which he was, I think, inherently he had it, a really warm spirit and good heart in him. So, you know, that's one of the greatest discussions is nature versus nurture.
Yeah.
How much of it is Nicole? How much of it is inherent? And hopefully, people have really thoughtful discussions on that. So.
Yeah. One of my last questions is, you've spoken a lot, when you talk about Ling and when you talk about representation, you know, saying Asian American and not, honing in on a specific, culture within that umbrella, but really focusing, as kind of like, I guess like a pan Asian, I am Mexican American myself. So we, you know, sometimes we get kind of like that same thing. There's a lot of us under the Latino brand. So what was the choice like to choose Asian American versus honing in on one specific culture?
Well, Ling is, specifically, I guess, Chinese American in the comic. What is really cool is, yes, I believe this is a challenging thing, right? Because if you're Vietnamese American, you're like, wait a minute, this isn't for me. Like, this is kind of speaking to my experience, but not exactly, right?
Yeah.
And of course, specifically in the Asian American media community, Southeast Asians are probably least represented, from what I understand. So this is where it becomes fun to try to, again, build an ability with Ling that we can address some of this. So, for instance, in a body switch sort of thing, we can probably tackle some of that. If your issues or whatnot.
Yeah.
But again, you're trying not to paint by numbers, so that's challenging. And I think it's important to figure out how to integrate, you know, inclusion for everybody. It's something I think about a lot. What's lovely in the school space is you can have a multitude of different students, right?
Yeah.
So they can transfer in and out.
Yeah.
Over time and story. So I think that's a good revolving door of ways we can integrate other ethnicities under that big umbrella that you were speaking about.
Yeah.
Into this story of Ling. I mean, I guess I'm Taiwanese American and Maria's Japanese.
Yeah.
So maybe that felt a little more relatable.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what I love about Raising Dion is I'm Taiwanese American, yet it's an African American show, and I'm not a woman. I think it's important that we don't fall into tribalism.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time, realize that it's important that everyone should feel like they have a voice to tell their own story.
Yeah.
So I think that's something really important moving forward, that we can still try to tell a human story with good research and good empathy.
Yeah.
And I think only then will have truer equality.
Yeah.
But for now, I think it's really empowering and important that, you know, people feel like they should tell their own stories specifically.
Yeah.
I'm just looking further down the road and wondering what how that may affect storytelling in the future, which may or may not be good. And I hope everyone keeps thinking with an open mind and not just being like an armchair sort of commenter without thinking how complex this whole issue is of representation.
Yeah.
So
I completely agree. So for for everyone listening, where can they read Ling?
So Ling is on our website. It's www.lingthecomic.com. And the short online with Randall and all of us crazy people is online for free on YouTube. Just type in Ling Superhero and or Asian American Superhero. There aren't that many, so it's not going to be hard to find. You know, I just hope we can spread the word, and particularly with, you know, those teenagers or young adults that feel like they'd love a character that's, you know, kind of looks like them, that might go through their what they're going through. I hope this is something that they can look at and be like, okay, someone was thinking about us when we were making this. So
yeah, awesome.
But yeah, check it out.
Yeah. Well, I hope we get to see more of Ling in live action form. Short definitely hooked me.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
No, not a problem. I mean, I watched the short and right away I was like, oh my God, I need to set this up. Sorry it took so long. I've had like a crazy week. But honestly, it was that broom design. It's so unique. Yes, it's so good. It's so unique and different, and it has that like wonder in it, you know, that I love
that. Yeah, Angie had to train for 3 months to swing that thing around.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it's not like you can't just start swinging a big stick around and look cool with it.
Yeah, that's fair.
The end of it is weighted, so it wasn't even like a regular bow staff. It, you know, one end was much heavier, so the inertia was a lot different. I don't know, that's just, you know, when you get in the weeds of it, but,
So you had,
Chloe Kim, actually.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Surfs on it versus, like, ride it between her legs.
Yeah. That was a really cool, detail. I can't talk today.
Yeah.
So you used, was it both practical and CG?
Yeah, it's a really, I mean, I don't think people really would notice this, but it is, if you think about it, there's 2D animation and practical 3D visual effects.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of it all together, so it's, you know, but people have really good eyes these days, so they're just like, whatever, that's not that hard. Disney throws millions of and passion, I guess, to do it, the work. So.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much, Dennis. This was great.
Yeah, thanks for the chat, and I really hope you guys continue to do well and everything.